Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. So nice to have you with us on this September the 11th, 2008, the seven-year anniversary of the attack on our nation by our government. Did I say that? Yes, I did. If you differ with that opinion, then by all means, do some research. The evidence overwhelmingly, and I don't say that because this is Evident Footprints, the evidence overwhelmingly shows that there was complicity with our government, the Israeli Mossad international agents, and I'm not speaking about 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters. That's the fraud of our propagandized, paid-up, bought, and hoard media, our mainstream media. There are more people waking up today to the fact that we were attacked by our own government, and this is a combination of Zionist, Nazis, Ashkenazis, whatever you want to call them, and communists, all working together for the purpose of establishing a new world order. Explain to me how two 110-story skyscrapers and another 47-story skyscraper can turn to total powder and liquid. Tell me that that is natural. Tell me that high technology wasn't used. Tell me with our military doing exercises, military exercises in downtown Manhattan, at the time this occurred, preparing for planes hitting buildings. We have a psychic somewhere in the White House that would know that that was going to happen while they're preparing and running these drills. Tell me that our military is that incompetent. They're competent enough to go to Iraq and Afghanistan and other parts of the world, giving up their lives senselessly while the Zionists make trillions of dollars, not billions, trillions of dollars. And these men and women going overseas to fight for what they think is freedom is doing nothing but making a farce out of the whole thing. We're watching our economy go downhill. We're watching the housing market crashing. And what are they going to do? They're going to make more money out of thin air to save the housing market. Well, they're going to float the houses like kites up into the air. Millions of people are homeless. We've got more millions sneaking over the border being paid to come to this country illegally. Tell me that we do not have a corrupt government. Tell me that. I'd like to hear from you if you can tell me with a certainty that our government isn't corrupt. They're embezzling trillions of dollars. They're murdering people around the planet to try to keep this story under wraps. And I've talked about it on numerous shows. And if I sound angry, I'm fed up after 7 years, and I'm sure many of my listening audience is, that nothing's been done about it except that it's covered up and it's spawned more corruption, more murder, and less freedom. And it's about time we wake up. And with that, that is my opening rant, my introduction to tonight's guest. He is a scientist Number one, he's an environmental scientist, and he's also a health consultant, an herbalist, a chemist. He's had a long career with one of the Illuminati companies. Of course, maybe while he was with them, he didn't realize that they were. He may explain a little bit about that tonight. They're behind all of the pandemic scares that are going on right now and all the computer corruption that's going on around the world, perpetrated by our government and other governments. And he is also an herbalist, a healer, a health consultant, a historian, and a musician. And his name is Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to Evident Footprints on 9/11.
Hello, Don. Thank you, sir. Great to be on the show again with you.
Well, you got to hear my opening comment, and I suppose you can tell my disgust with where the world is today and how dumbed down everybody is in America.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Unfortunately, I concur on that. It's I'm very disgusted knowing that our government, or rather the traitors in our government, perpetrated that event. And all these people that died just on that day, let alone subsequent war, and for nothing, except for an elite globalist agenda, which definitely has them making in or raking in billions of dollars more on all of this, on the suffering and tragedies of other people's lives. That's how they make their money. They are vampires. But it is disgusting, Don, knowing that they're getting away with it still to this day. That an obvious, blatant attempt to destroy lives of Americans, all done clearly on inside activity. I watched the second plane strike the building live on TV that morning, and clearly, when you see the buildings come down, there's no way the planes could have done that. And they came down so cleanly, perfectly, all the way straight down, without hitting any other adjacent building. Now, that only happens one way. That's called professional demolishing.
Or demolition, yeah.
Yes, and then you have the Pentagon... There's only a 16-foot round hole in the wall of the Pentagon building. And yet, they're telling us 64-inch. And 64-inch. How can it only be a little bit? Roof is still intact at that point in time. And there's no wreckage anywhere at all on the lawn, on nothing, no.
Yeah, Michael, let me interrupt you just for a second. Your audio is breaking up, and we have a little bit of distortion, so you can make sure your cables are plugged in right and everything, and I'll talk for a minute until you have a chance to straighten that out. We'll check it out. Seth just sent me a message, so we're going to try to clean it up. Okay, I think it's clear now. Okay, so you were saying.
Well, just that the scientific... equations, you know, it's just you can't get a round hole, a round object, or a square object in a round hole. You cannot get a 16-foot diameter hole from a 64-foot diameter object. It's just impossible. And let alone no wreckage on the ground. The roof is still intact of the Pentagon building initially. There's really no big fire. The offices, as you see through the opening where the 16-foot hole is on the exterior wall of the Pentagon building, you can see offices with their books, their computers, all intact. Nothing's burned up. So clearly, scientifically, what they're proposing to us with their explanations of that, the events on that day, are just as ridiculous as the magic bullet that killed JFK.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree. Over the past 7 years, I've had the opportunity to speak to many people, and as a journalist and now as a talk show host, I've been put in touch with people that were actually at the Pentagon. There was one lady that was working there, who had her child there, and they went underneath the desk, her desk, and there was no plane. She said it was a missile. That's firsthand eyewitness right there, regardless of what the media says. These jokers that they had walking across the lawn carrying plane parts. I mean, who in the right mind after an explosion, minutes after an explosion of an aircraft, is going to go pick up the parts and carry them out across the lawn? I mean, that was stupid. That was asinine that they did that.
Just to put it mildly.
And there were people on the web that they sized the parts. And they took the parts and they matched them up to United Airlines or American Airlines airplanes, trying to match the insignia, the logos on the or the writing on the parts with existing planes, and the rivets went in the other direction. You know, it's just
stooges.
Yeah, it's crazy that they would think that we were that stupid. That's how industrious the public has been.
Yes.
But just the explanation I gave, turning this building to powder, turning the people to powder, where, and then we have this token condolence to the families whose loved ones were victimized in this thing, saying such idiotic things like they did DNA testing, and they identified the body parts because they did DNA testing. How did they do DNA testing?
Yes. On what?
What was their reference?
Exactly.
Was it the molten steel at the bottom of the building? Or was it the nuclear material? Was it the resonance of the directed energy weapon? Or weapons?
You know, Don, for sure. Just stay with the most obvious details, obvious facts in these details of this story. You're describing how could the whole building, you know, just go up in powder, basically. And when you review some of the film footage and you watch all the people running up the street, up the long streets, the huge blocks of New York City, and you see a gigantic cloud of dust rapidly catching up to them, right behind them. What is buildings coming down all by naturally, that would be a big pile of rubble.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying it's all powder.
Okay.
Only a huge blast.
Mm-hmm. It's obvious tonight that this message that we're bringing out does not want to be heard by certain people. They're interfering with our communication, so we beg the listening audience to bear with us as we ask the NSA to back off and let us do our job. Find something else to do, play cards or something like that. at least I'm hearing, that's what I'm hearing on my end. So hopefully the listening audience isn't hearing what I'm hearing. An interesting anomaly with all the buildings that were destroyed or attacked, to put it in quotes, it was finance offices in every aspect. The planes hit the finance offices of these companies that were doing computer work. They were involved in all the corruption that went on. When they hit the Pentagon, they hit the finance offices in the Pentagon. Now, anyone that doubts that is a motive, or there's a motive for doing that, let's look to the Murrah building in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
When they blamed that on Timothy McVeigh, the cameras that CNN had there showed some unexploded weapons hanging from the ceiling or from the inner walls at the gaping opening where this explosion occurred. And we know from that, and guess what? It was the financial offices, again, that were blown up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're destroying records, they're destroying the proof of the corruption that's been going on, and
really?
for whatever sick reason, they had to take lives instead of just going in there and removing the records by hand. They certainly could have taken a truck like the one supposedly that Timothy McVeigh used to put, ammonium nitrate? Yeah. You know, they could have spent that time putting the records there and hidden them somewhere, you know, in Cheney's garage or something.
They were using volatile cow dung for the bomb explosive.
Well, yeah, that's about par, I guess.
It's so pathetic. And, Don, the reason, unfortunately, for including tragic innocent Americans in the events is they were multitasking. Any records and trace of their sinister activities, if you look at the American public move emotionally to this new terrorism agenda that they were going to begin to get us familiar with. So eventually by 2008, everybody knows about the war on terror. And so that's why they have to drag the Americans innocently into it and wipe out any of them, just to get them all emotionally stirred up, the rest of us, as to following their agenda, that whatever they lead us to, and of course it's supposedly Muslims, and they hate us because we're free, and that would allow us to be dragged into more wars, foreign wars, in the Middle East now. So, unfortunately, that's what they wanted to get out of all this.
Yes. Now, on some past shows, Michael, you and I have discussed Freemasonry, and I've been doing just a little bit of peripheral research. You know, I finished my Obama piece, which is supposed to be out in the Observer now. We're looking at sometime later today.
Congratulations, Dad.
The 12th. They've had power outages in the area, which I find rather synchronistic. We've had the same problem at BBS Radio because of wildfires that were set within the past few months. And everyone's website is being attacked. Emails are being intercepted. And so they're obviously trying to keep us from getting the word out. And yet God in His grace and His glory is helping us get the message out. And that considered, I had the opportunity to look a little bit with the free time, having completed this major piece, to see what people are saying about 9/11. And I was, for some reason, drawn to go back into the history of the Masonic Order, in particular, some of the key players in the world wars. And, of course, I read some of what Albert Pike had predicted. And Albert Pike had suggested that there were going to be three world wars, that they were going to lead this country through three world wars, the third one which would bring this country down.
Right.
And in the process of doing some research, I read about Marx, Karl Marx, and his Masonic ties, and Giuseppe Mazzini, the founder of the Mafia in 1860, mm-hmm. and his relationship with Pike. Pike and Mazzini were brought into the Illuminati to share in the plans, being behind the scenes role players to muster up all of this satanic energy.
Mm-hmm. And organized chaos.
Yes, exactly. And I know that there are some who are Masons who really sincerely believe that they're doing God's work, when everything that was published by Pike himself was talking about all the deceit that would occur within the organization itself. And you and I have had this discussion before. We've talked about those Masons who were doing great things as the founding fathers, yet it's difficult to accept that they had no idea what the master plans were. They may have known that it was going to come down the pike. Isn't it interesting?
Yes, that is interesting. I wonder if that's where it originated from.
It could be. As in turnpike. I came across a comparison between some of the Masonic proclamations that Pike had made and the comparisons to Christianity, and I wanted to read a couple of them to you, if I could. And you know, sure. Of course, we could talk about these.
Great.
Now, this was from an article on the Celtic List. Now, it gives the topic heading or subtitle, and then there's the Masonic and then the Christian viewpoint of these topics. Okay, Jesus Christ. Masonry says, in his private petitions, a man may petition God or Jehovah, Allah or Buddha, Muhammad or Jesus. He may call upon the God of Israel or the first great cause. In the Masonic Lodge, he hears petition to the great architect of the universe, finding his own deity under that name. 100 paths may wind upward around the mountain. At the top, they meet. Now, this was written by Carl H. Cloudy, Introduction to Freemasonry. And I'm sure it was inspired by Pike. Now, the Christianity would say, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14:6. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other than name, but Jesus, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Now you hear the differences already between the two.
Sure.
The purpose or the intent of Masonry on the upper degrees I'm talking about, not what they tell the Blue Lodge initiates, first, second, and third degrees. They are to be tricked, they are to be lied to, they are to be deceived about the real intentions of Masonry. And so they start out by talking about God, they name all the different names of God according to the religions, and include Jesus, or they name the prophets, let's say, and then they basically just throw it in your face. Now, on God, they say, the Masons say, since every man's conception of God must be proportioned to his mental cultivation and intellectual powers and moral excellence, God is, as man conceives him, the reflected image of man himself. This is Albert Pike in Morals and Dogma, 14th Degree, page 234. Quote, the only personal God Freemasonry accepts is humanity in toto. Humanity, therefore, is the only personal God that there is. That's attributed to J.D. Buck, Mystic Masonry, page 216. Quote, the absolute is reason. Reason is by means of itself. It is because it is. If God is, he is by reason. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, 28th Degree, page 737. Christianity. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1:1. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. 1 John 5:7. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Exodus 3:14. Now, one more I'd like to read here, and then let's open up a little bit of a dialogue on this, if that's okay.
I'm ready to go.
Okay. On the Holy Bible, Masonry says, the literal meaning of the Bible is for the vulgar only. Albert Pike, Digest of Morals and Dogma, page 166. Masonry makes no profession of Christianity, but looks forward to the time when the labor of our ancient brethren shall be symbolized by the erection of a spiritual temple, in which there shall be but one altar and one worship, one common altar of masonry, on which the Veda, Shastra, Sad, Zend Avesta, Quran, and Holy Bible shall lie, and at whose shrine the Hindu, the Persian, the Assyrian, the Chaldean, the Egyptian, the Chinese, the Mohammedan, the Jew, and the Christian may kneel. And that was the Kentucky Monitor Fellowcraft Degree, page 95. The removal of the name of Jesus and references to him in Bible verses used in the ritual are, quote, slight but necessary modifications. Albert McKay, or Mackey, rather, Masonic Ritualist, page 272. Christianity on the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, Psalms 12:6. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, Isaiah 8:20. Thoughts on these verses?
Don, we're delving into a topic that would take definite many hours to really cover it all.
I'll start my stopwatch.
Okay. We're dealing with an ancient knowledge, trying to understand, as far as Masonry itself. Masonry itself is dabbling into an ancient knowledge, and this knowledge was not acquired by going to a government public school, up to modern times. How did you get educated? And you couldn't, unless you had wealth and had luxury time for an education and could afford to find the proper teachers to educate you. And so the Masonry lodges were simply schools that were perpetuating themselves for quite a while, at least one century, as far as under the term Freemasonry. The lodges themselves have been perpetuating themselves since the beginning of time and after the Lord himself came, because he reestablished everything as far as knowledge goes and the truth. So the Freemasonries were an education system which was passing down elite knowledge, and they were careful in how they transmitted that knowledge to the up-and-coming students as they demonstrated themselves to be worthy to graduate to higher levels or inner levels. Then more and more of the advanced knowledge would be transmitted to them. And in modern times, with the founding fathers, starting there and then up to modern times, the lodges were infiltrated. As everything gets infiltrated down here, anything that is good, we're teaching about God and reality, which is going to benefit the individual and the country, will eventually be infiltrated. These institutions, these organizations, will always be infiltrated by dark forces. That's what they do. And then they will counterfeit the truth over time, because that's exactly what they're all about. And then they'll lead everyone astray down a path of darkness. That's where we are today. Now, for example, with these passages and the two perspectives, the Christian and the Masonry, but that Masonry perspective that you're narrating from is only very limited in perspective. And what Pike is saying is clearly all the counterfeiting to get everybody down a path of darkness. But then you have the scholars trying to analyze it all and give their interpretation and all. That's where you really got to be careful, because they are very much amateurs and novices when they're dabbling into this very in-depth topic.
Yeah.
So, for example, Don, I am that I am. I'm glad you brought that one up, because I was waiting to get to that. And Jesus says, I am the way. And so it was known that God himself is a presence. They identified it as the I am presence. And they, the good schools of Freemasonry, and what the schools were prior to Freemasonry, were all passing down the knowledge of God's presence as an entity that was dwelling with the original Israelites as a presence outside the tent and then inside the temple when the temple was finally constructed. And this same presence guided the Israelites under Exodus from Egypt. And Jesus comes along and says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am this, I am that. So the Lord himself is manifesting once again the I am presence of the Father. But now the Son is manifesting it. And then he's instructing his disciples on how to carry on with the I am presence in their own individual lives. How to get it to manifest and sustain itself in their individual lives. And once you can do that, then we become very powerful beings, just like the great prophets of the Old Testament and the Lord himself. And so you don't ever hear that particular interpretation because nobody understands that one yet. But it's the individualization of the God presence, of God Almighty, active in the affairs of man. That's what I am, that I am, is. And Moses couldn't even understand that. He was confounded by a lot. But he still was a great prophet nonetheless. And so the Lord was also not really understood by anyone, including his disciples. Because it's very, we're mortals, we're born as mortals, and these concepts are very difficult. Even when his disciples were experiencing it firsthand, they were totally baffled and overwhelmed. And so that's what the essence of all this is about. And so the good schools were teaching the individuals how to cultivate God's presence in their individual lives, and after the Son of God came, the easiest, best way to do that is through the Lord himself, by bringing the Lord himself into our lives. And the best way to accomplish that is to study the Lord very, very carefully so that you can retrace his footsteps, follow his way, follow his lead, because that's what he did for us. And that all comes down to simply living virtuously, as impeccably as we can. And then, lo and behold, the magic presence begins to manifest in our lives. And we start to live in the light more and more, as the Lord instructed us to do. And so the good schools were perpetuating the light and the wisdom of truth that brings us to the light. The counterfeit schools were doing just the opposite, of course, because that's what they're all about, to lead astray all men and women desiring to develop spiritual lives and to develop a closer relationship with the Lord and draw them closer to them. They will immediately go after those types and try to lead them astray, because if they can keep them astray, then the rest of the masses that aren't even trying yet to do that at the individual level will be easily kept in the dark for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. Now, I agree with what you're saying. I look at who is wreaking the havoc on the planet, and these are all the upper degrees of Freemasonry. I'd like to read a couple of other sections of this for sake of talking about what occurred on 9/11, because you and I and a few other people we know have seen the manifestation of evil just in the smoke and the dust clouds and the apparitions that appeared. It's obvious, you know, it's obvious that there was definitely a strong but negative spiritual force at work, a pure evil. The whole event was just pure evil.
Yes.
On Satan, Masonry says, the conviction of all men that God is good led to a belief in a devil. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, 19th degree, page 324. Quote, there is no rebellious demon of evil or principle of darkness coexistent in eternal controversy with God or the principle of light. Again, that's from the same book, 32nd Degree, page 859. Christianity. Ye are of your father the devil. He is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:11-12. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. On truthfulness, and I feel it's important to follow with this, and then we're going to move quickly to secrecy and blood oaths, and then I'll, you know, again, welcome your comments. Truthfulness, masonry. The Mason doctrine teaches that it is right to lie, if necessary, to protect the secrets of the lodge, or to protect brother Masons by concealing his wrongdoing. It can even be right to deliberately deceive sincere Masons seeking to learn the lessons and secrets of Masonry. The blue degrees are but the portico, or the porch, of the temple. Part of the symbols are displayed there to the initiate, but he is intentionally misled by false interpretations. It is not intended that he shall understand them, but it is intended that he shall imagine that he understands them. Their true explication or explanation or understanding is reserved for the adepts, the princes of Masonry. And that's from Pike, Morals and Dogma, 30th Degree, page 189. You must conceal all crimes of your brother Masons, and should you be summoned as a witness against a brother Mason, be always sure to shield him. It may be perjury to do this, it is true, but you're keeping your obligations. And that's Ronayne, Handbook of Masonry, page 183. Furthermore, do I promise and swear that a Master Mason's secrets, given to me in charge as such, and I knowing them to be such, shall remain as secure and inviolable in my breast as in his own, when communicated to me, murder and treason excepted, and they left to my own election. Master Masons, 3rd degree, oath of obligation. Now Christianity responds to that topic, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Exodus 20:16. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Leviticus 19:11. Lie not to one another. Colossians 3:9. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21:8. And now on secrecy and blood oaths. Masonry. Secrecy is indispensable in the Mason of whatever degree. That's Pike, again, Morals and Dogma, 4th Degree, page 109. I do hereon most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear that I will always hail, ever conceal, and never reveal any of the arts, parts, or points of the secret arts, any mysteries of ancient Freemasonry which I have received, am about to receive, or may hereafter be instructed in. That is the oath of obligation, entered apprentice, 1st degree, and include in all subsequent degrees. Always on penalty of mayhem and violent death, binding myself under no less a penalty than that of having my body severed in twain, my bowels taken out and burned to ashes, the ashes scattered to the four winds of heaven. From the oath of obligation, Master Mason, 3rd degree. In willful violation whereof may I incur the fearful penalty of having my eyeballs pierced to the center with the three-edged blade, my feet flayed, and I be forced to walk the hot sands upon sterile shores of the Red Sea, until the flaming sun shall strike me with a livid plague, and may Allah, the God of Arab, Muslim, and Mohammedan, the God of our fathers, support me to the entire fulfillment of the same. From the oath of obligation, ancient Arabic order of nobles of the mystic shrine, or the Shriners, as they're known as. Christianity, I, Jesus, spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, and in secret have I said nothing. John 18:20. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:17. Thou shalt not kill. Exodus 20:13. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be your yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. James 5:12. Comments.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you wrapped it up with that one, because that says it all right there. Giving oaths is such a critical decision and a commitment that people just don't fathom. Well, a lot of times when people get married, they commit with an oath to each other. And then when they get divorced, I say, what was that oath? Nothing? Nothing at all, huh? So there's something still hanging over their heads when they break that oath and they divorce themselves and they're not aware of that. And so, you know, the oaths is something that people really have to consider strongly before they enter in such a bond. But otherwise, Don, what you simply have is Pike's book is really the book of lies and deceit, which is clearly intended to get people down a path of darkness. But as far as secrets go, yes, the Lord taught in public and open as to his intentions. However, his secrets on how to turn water into wine, walk on the water, raise the dead, drive out demons, was not instructed to the public, but only to his disciples in private. And so the real science that brings personal power at the individual level is always highly guarded. The good schools, the good Lord, they guard the secrets to protect mankind so that the secrets don't fall into the hands of evil-minded people who will use this power selfishly to get the upper hand over their brethren. Whereas the dark forces, they want to keep the power secret from the public so that they have the upper hand over the public and no one can neutralize them with their power. Now also, what's really obvious is that you can see that Albert Pike's philosophy, which was classified as Freemasonry in his time, is clearly the initial root of communism. Because when he's teaching that there's really no devil, there's no evil, so you know, there's no real good, there's no real evil, so therefore, you know, do what you want. And that's what they're aiming for. And look where we are now. That's what they teach kids in the government training public schools. There's no right and wrong, kids. It's, you know, just do what you want, you see? So they've accomplished that quite well. And look how negatively it impacts our culture when that philosophy is accepted. And so they're clearly, they're the original communists. And they're
and fascists. And fascists, Nazis, and Zionists, too.
Yes.
It's all interwoven.
Absolutely. Because there's really no difference between any three of those groups. They're self-absorbed egomaniacs believing that they're so self-righteous in their activities, but at the pinnacle of power, the Rockefellers and a lot of the Bankster clans, they're devil worshippers, and they know that. They're Luciferians. When they go to the Bohemian Grove or any other small private event where they're sacrificing living beings, unfortunately probably kids along with animals, and doing, by the way, a lot of sex magic. That's how they have to do it. They have to use sex in order to generate a lot of power. The Nazis were big into that. At the inner circle, Hitler, he was recruited into all that. Hitler didn't invent it. He was drafted, a perfect candidate, a perfect pupil, and they groomed him expertly. Names like Dietrich Eckhart, mm-hmm. Karl Haushofer.
Yes.
Those are the names you never hear anybody talk about when they talk about Nazis and Hitler and stuff. They're the insiders that were grooming Hitler into the dark magic. And so these are the techniques they employ to generate that power, because they're not living virtuously. They can't acquire it the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to cheat, take a shortcut path, use certain kinds of quote-unquote magical practices, which ultimately are scientific endeavors mm-hmm. that will yield a certain result once they bring all the ingredients together. And yeah. So that's how they operate, Don. And they're clearly just counterfeiters. That's
mm-hmm.
all they are. They're counterfeiters to the truth, creating a false reality to keep people in a state of darkness. And that's why we're in the dark ages right now.
Well, that's why we're talking about this subject tonight. When I look at whose hands were on 9/11 and the Larry Silversteins and the Frank Lowies and Rudy Giuliani and all the unspoken names, of course, you know, you have to count Cheney and Bush and old man Bush and his connection to the Dachau DVD and the Abwehr. And you mentioned Hitler, that they're all from the same clan. When the Bushes came over here as the sheriffs, they were working as agents for Hitler. And I did some recent Hitler research, and I've got some really interesting finds there. You're going to be surprised, and my readers and listeners are going to be amazed at how easy it is to connect the dots once you learn where to look.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be some revelations that are totally going to debunk the history that we've been spoon-fed about how World War II ended and where the Nazis are. And I listened to some other talk show hosts throughout the week, and there are a couple in the Washington, D.C. area that seem to be carrying out an agenda. They prefer to call the current administration neocons, and they, of course, would like to call themselves that because it doesn't mean anything. It's another name to hide behind. But they're all the Nazi players, and I hear things mm-hmm. like, I wish they would stop calling them Nazis, and they want to, you know, the word Nazi is a derivative of the word Ashkenazi, and in Yiddish, that name means German, so they're showing their German roots, purely, mm-hmm. but the Ashkenazis, the Zionists, were originally, before that, called the Khazars. They were from Mongolia, and they wandered around the planet pretending they were Jews. And they have caused the Judeans to take the brunt of all the criticism because they've lied about who they were. These people cannot admit who they are, and they have all the earmarks of who they are by the secret societies. Of course, I could mention Skull and Bones. There's never been anything good about Skull and Bones. And these people are also Masons. You see?
And they've also, Don, they're the cause of all the problems on the Jewish people to this very day. They brought the suffering on them during World War II and all the way up to right now in Israel. They're causing all... They're supposedly Jewish, but obviously they're bringing a lot of suffering to the Jewish people.
Yes. The prediction that Pike had about World War III was that it was going to be a Muslim type of war, just like what we have right now. So they're following this cookie-cutter pattern that he created, even if it's only in their writings. The point I'm making here is the high-degree Masons that are privy to all of these secrets, which really are not secrets at all. It depends on the ignorance of the public. We're either going to read and study this and do research and learn about this, or we're going to pretend like it doesn't exist. We're going to deny it's happening, and we're going to have more false flag events occur. Now, while not to take words out of your mouth here, I want to bring your attention to another story, which is pretty interesting. This has been going around the world, and already the web... It came out today. September 11th, already the pictures have been taken off the web. There are two students, Laurent Bonomo and Gabriel Ferrez. Okay, I'm using the French pronunciation of their names. They are considered to be two French intelligence agents who were brutally stabbed to death in a London flat, and then the flat was set on fire. Their pictures were posted on the internet on various sites. They've all the sites have been stripped of these photos. When you try to go to these websites, you get a 404 error message that it cannot be found. What they have discovered is that they were taken out by a group called True Colors. This is a rogue Israeli Mossad British intelligence assassination team organization headed by the Bush Clinton clan. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, think about 9/11. Think about all the things, the traitorous acts that have been perpetrated on this country way back even before John F. Kennedy. Let's go back to 1947. And really, we could even go back before that with the murder of Nikola Tesla. And
yes.
And George Bush, when he was in the Navy, causing two of his co-pilots to plunge to their death as he ejected himself from his airplane.
And conveniently was rescued by a submarine, just happened to be in the area.
Yes, and that submarine towed the plane to a cargo ship and took it to Germany so that they could back engineer the weaponry on that plane.
Wow.
Now, these two French students were studying at what's called the prestigious London Imperial College. They were researching the origins of bird flu and the link to the alleged vaccines. Now, just going through this, they claim that they had to kill eradicate some hens that came down with a strain called H7. Now, we've been hearing about H5N1, and this is a very deadly strain of bird flu. They evidently had found something out, and this is a co-op type of false flag pandemic perpetrated by the United States, the United Kingdom, Israel, and Germany. Okay, so if someone wants to say Germany's not in the picture, I beg to differ. Now, they're assuming that these two students were actually intelligence officers and acting on behalf of the French who had intelligence that this was going on. Mm-hmm. Israeli Zionist microbiologist Zachary, known as Dr. Zach, not only worked for the U.S. Bioweapons Lab at Fort Detrick, Maryland, where he's photographed handling the stain of anthrax used in the post-9/11 attack, but was a consultant at the Boulder, Colorado FBI Division 5 linked company, Gilead Sciences. Now, they've linked that company to 9/11, and listen to this. Almost 50% of the Gilead Sciences Incorporated stock is owned by former U.S. Secretary of Defense and 9/11 co-conspirator Donald Rumsfeld, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, Cindy McCain. That's the wife of Senator John McCain running for president, mm-hmm. wife of presumptive Republican nominee John McCain, they say in the article, and none other than FBI Division 5 William Morris Agency, and NBC anchor face Tom Brokaw. Tom Brokaw has replaced Tim Russert, who died of a heart attack a couple of weeks ago. Retired Republican Senator William Frist, Bill Frist of Tennessee, has major investments in the bird flu vaccine. And they say, for example, the virus, because really that's not a vaccine. They're just going to inject this deadly virus into people thinking that they're going to build up antibodies when in actuality it's going to cause a pandemic. Sure. Now, this is the purpose of this, of course, would lead us into martial law and cause us to basically allow the government to just completely be taken over, including the Treasury and the Federal Reserve by the Bush administration. Now,
yes.
Listen to this. This is really interesting. They're talking about anthrax and the bird flu. Next sentence. This financial control would allow the outlaw Bush administration the ability to block the G7-ordered implementation of the noted Wanta-Reagan-Mitterrand protocols, which are designed to return billions of dollars back to the U.S., French, and Chinese treasuries. Really, it's trillions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who have you heard reporting on this time in the last 2 years?
That's great, Don. Yes, that's right. There's the Leo Wanta story coming back around, huh?
Oh, yes. This is a cover-up.
Yeah. Yep, right. Exactly. It's all a big cover-up, and these French agents were onto it, huh, Don?
Yes. Now, they go on to say here, the two French students who had their apartment broken into 1 week before their brutal assassination also had their laptop computer stolen and their apartment firebombed. The operation has been traced to a team of 10 Israeli Mossad and British MI5 agents. Now, for the listeners out there, the Mossad is like Israel's CIA, you could say. Every bit as corrupt as our CIA. And the British MI5 are actually like our FBI. MI6 would be compared to the CIA.
Right.
This is, and again, they mention the true colors. And this was basically... they're referring to Scotland Yard, that Scotland Yard was of no help in this, that they're covering this up.
Naturally. This is a major event that they're trying to bring to fruition. So they've got to keep all their sources on, you know, plugged up so that the public never catches on to this.
Yeah,
because it's a big plan, Don. We covered in the past how they've already IBM in Europe already has their plans in place for management when the bird flu pandemic strikes, and they've already identified it as coming in three waves over 12-week intervals. Now, how do you know that? If it's a natural disease that we've never seen before, coming out of nowhere, and they got to study it, and yet they seem to know all this already, so obviously it's not a natural disease, but a man-made disease that's going to be controlled by these perpetrators, and they've got to keep that very secret.
Now, would you, for the sake of the listening audience, Michael, repeat the name of that corporation again?
Yes, that was IBM, Don. And in fact, getting back to the beginning of your introduction, yes, I was aware when I was leaving the company, when I was quitting, that they were Nazis. I knew it then, and I knew it for the last few years. I finally put it all together. Of course, when I joined, I was young and naive when it came to that, and IBM, you're working at IBM, holy smokes, it used to be the best job in the world in this area of the Northeast that you could ever really have. And so by the end of my term there, which was almost 13 years, just about 13 years, and I realized it. And so sure enough, not too long ago, I was showing a guy a photo of the swastika Nazi building off San Diego. The guy says, you know, that reminds me of IBM. And so I said, really? I said, where? East Fishkill? And he goes, yeah, because IBM, this is IBM country. It used to be.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have buildings and sites everywhere around here. And so I said, East Fishkill, which is where I worked. And he goes, yeah. And I said, which building? He says, 300. And I said, wow, I knew it. I started in 300 Building Dunn as a chemist. And he said it became apparent to everybody that they had a swastika building there because of the flyovers with the helicopters back and forth, because we have a small airport that has steadily developed over the decades. And so there's a lot of helicopter activity. And so they noticed that. And IBM actually modified the building because of that. And they did that just before I was hired, as it turns out. And so definitely Nazis. And anyone interested to follow up on IBM and the Nazi connection, there was a great book, IBM and the Holocaust, that came out just a few years back, maybe already 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And that'll fill you in with amazing information. And so sure enough, it's IBM. And they're the guys that have their plans in place for the pandemic when it hits Europe in three waves of 12-week intervals. So it's all planned entirely.
Yes, this is... this is interesting. There's one more quote that, or a couple of more quotes here, short ones that I'd like to read. They go on to say here now, the individual currently under arrest in the United Kingdom is a witness to the murders whose life is in jeopardy at this time, given he has been taken into custody by the Bush-Clinton True Colors compromised Scotland Yard. The two French students, along with former Secretary of State Colin Powell and former head of French intelligence Jean Couté, were also in possession of a secret U.S. government death list, which targets various outspoken political opponents of the American ruling junta. Now, I don't delve into politics, so I know I'm not on that list. It is conceivable that these outspoken political opponents would become recipients of the bird flu vaccine, a.k.a. virus, after their incarceration at various concentration camps under martial law conditions. These concentration camps are secretly headquartered in Yuma, Arizona. Well, I guess it's not a secret anymore, is it? Former Republican Senator William Frist of Tennessee was given a copy of this death list. P.S. The assassination of the French intelligence officers happened to coincide just after the recent meetings that took place in Northern Ireland between White House resident George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and current British Prime Minister Gordon Brown. The two murders also coincide with the recent assassination attempt in Israel targeting French President Nicolas Sarkozy, by the way, who happens to be Hungarian, and Israel Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. Now, Olmert was in some trouble with Frank Lowy, who was the concessions holder for Westfield Properties at the World Trade Center. He was a business partner of Larry Silverstein. So these people are going at each other's throats. And I had reported on this Bush visit with, and we're talking about W, opening up bank accounts to launder money with Gordon Brown. After he had already visited in London, Brown met him on the tarmac at the airport in Dublin. So isn't it interesting that this news, which I reported 3 or 4 months ago, now is coming to a head? In regard now to the flu, let me conclude this here by saying Sarkozy was also aware of the bird flu treason and the plans to use it against France, as well as the Israeli Mossad hacking of French Interpol internet portals using the American NSA, aforementioned at the beginning of the show, and the headquarters in Amsterdam, Holland. That's where they filter our email.
Here you go, Don. The official IBM plans for upper-level management with the pandemic hitting Europe is in France. It's a French IBM plant that I got these documents from. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Now, isn't it interesting? I had asked you several months ago if you were aware that IBM had a plant in Haifa, a lab. And you were quite surprised.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that one.
Yeah, and I don't say that in a demeaning way. You were with the company, and you were surprised to find out that they had a lab. And that's where they developed the software and the technology that pulled that pulled off 9/11 and all the scams, all the financial scams that went on. And that
the old IBM computer.
That can be proven, okay? So this article concludes by saying the NSA Mossad spy nest in Amsterdam has also been used to disrupt and hack all U.S. computers and email communications originating in the United States. So folks out there in the listening audience, including the network, if you're wondering who's behind it, it's the NSA and the Mossad, which we knew all along anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, in other words, if you're a patriotic whistleblower receiving communications from overseas sources about internal government-sponsored terrorist activities on your own soil, for example, U.S. soil, you, the patriotic whistleblower, are subjected to being spied on by your own government, the real terrorists.
Yes, the domestic enemy that hates freedom. They're the ones that hate the freedom that we once had anyway. Yes, sir, Don. It's it always comes back to the same old sources, the root of the problem, and they're globalists, they're Luciferians, they're evil, they just want to enslave the whole world. They actually are only happy when everyone else is in misery. That's the only time they're really happy. That's how disgusting and pathetic they are, because that's their MO. And, you know, Don, also, I just remembered that, you know, recently, a real close friend of mine, in a casual conversation at a function, and we were talking, and he revealed to me that just recently, a good friend of his told him that he realized that the planes he worked on at Stewart Airport were the planes involved with 9/11. Stewart Airport's a 20-minute ride from here. And this guy's an ex-military guy, and he was employed at Stewart Airport privately, and he was a plane expert, especially with drones. And the guy was telling my friend how he was surprised that these drones were in the bay to be worked on that morning of 9/11. Never had drones at Stewart before. So they called him in to work on these drones, and he realized, holy smokes, those were the planes involved with 9/11.
So those planes did leave the bay that morning.
Yes, they did.
And that corroborates the stories that came out about Global Hawk. And then, of course, you know who owned the Global Hawk company was Dove Zakheim, the guy most likely to have received the $2.3 trillion that Donald Rumsfeld reported to Congress as missing from the Pentagon on September 10th, 2001.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? And we are so sharp that we cannot connect these dots.
Yes. What a nice, clean, tidy, cleanup they did on 9/11 with hiding all that, huh, Don?
Mm-hmm. And for those listeners out there sipping on drinks sweetened with aspartame, you have Mr. Rumsfeld to thank for putting rat poison in your soft drinks.
Compliments of Donald, Mr. Aspartame Rumsfeld.
It's amazing. There's just no end to this madness.
They're evil.
Well, I thought I would sort of point these things out. We must be reminded as to who perpetrated these things on 9/11. You know, they had the dancing Israelis, the ones that were posing as urban movers, dancing on the van while they were videotaping the events on 9/11. They chased them into New Jersey. They were captured and held and then released.
Mm-hmm.
then released. Yep.
Just like the whole Bin Laden family on 9/12, allowed to just leave our country. No questioning needed.
Well, that's because they knew it was Saddam Hussein that was really behind us.
Yes, that's right.
And the Taliban.
Yes, yes. But then all of a sudden, after his whole family is out of the country, then they start blaming Osama, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's...
For a minute, they did.
Yeah, that's right. He's now Osama bin forgotten. But, yeah, Don, they must think we're quite stupid because they just have so many loose ends in their stories that they keep feeding us. And anybody that's trying to rationalize it all, and an expert like yourself that tracks down everything so well, you can find that they're just lying through their teeth.
Yes. Well,
and then your eyes see for your, you know, you see with your own eyes that what they're telling you can't be true. A 16-foot hole in the Pentagon building caused by a 64-foot plane, diameter plane, just doesn't happen. The whole plane burns up, not a fragment or singe marks or any kind of burning of anything on the lawn in front of the building.
Now
that's
just
first.
Yeah, just on yes. Just on the basis of this article I read, what is your impression of John McCain, knowing that Cindy McCain owns stock in a company that manufactures anthrax? Is there something wrong with my mind or
I never had respect for McCain for years now. I've seen through his facade, and he's part of the globalists. Don, with your, you know, great research, you made it clear of his British origins, and so he's a foreigner. Is he a Knight of England as well?
If he is, it's been secret.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything to that effect.
Okay.
But
of course,
my argument has been, if you discount all of my research, and the last point that I brought up was that if he was born in the Army, in the Naval Hospital at Coco Solo, Panama Canal Zone, in 1936. I believe that the birth date is off the top of my head, August 29th of 1936. Mm-hmm. There is no way in hell that he could have been born in a hospital that did not exist, even on December 17th, 1941, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt issued Executive Order 8981, asking them to mark the boundaries for a hospital.
You know, since you came along, Don, you're making these guys work a lot harder to get their stories better and more...
Well, they're just ignoring it.
yeah.
You know, they're just ignoring it, hoping it'll go away. But I'm going to keep reiterating it. I'm going to repeat it like a commercial.
You have to. But as far as answering your question, Don, I never really respected McCain much. I knew he was a traitor and a phony for quite a few years now. However, I'm disappointed to know in his wife is that bad. You know, I was giving her the benefit of the doubt that she's, you know, a silver spoon type of gal and has probably, you know, knows a lot because she's operating in those circles. But I was hoping she was naive. But based on what you're saying, she's not naive, and therefore she's as despicable as her husband.
Well, you know, her father, and the Henley alcohol fortune, you know, the beer distributorship, and you know, that's the front probably for drugs, I'm sure.
Right.
As is the case with all of these people, they're all involved in it, and we know that it's not a big secret. It's been written about by Fritz Springmeier. It's been written about by David Icke. You know, you have people
many
in...
Many others, too. Many others.
Many, many other people. Absolutely.
Yep.
They're not the only ones. But, you know, Fritz Springmeier studied the Illuminati and really got into the families. Interestingly, after all the research I've been doing for the past 2 years, I went and recently read some of Springmeier's work, and I'm seeing parallels in his work, too. Not just with David Icke.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Mars, same thing. Jim's been on the show. In fact, he's going to be on next week. I'm amazed at the fact that that we're independently going out doing this research, and when we're comparing notes, everything fits together, you know, like the OJ glove.
Yes, sir, Don, and that's the beauty of the truth. They can't kill the truth. They can kill the messenger, but they can't kill the truth, and it will always keep resurfacing every time. And sharp people like yourself and Jim Mars and everybody else, astute enough to perceive it when it manifests, grab it, and they then publish it so that everybody else can catch on to the truth. And so that's the good news about the truth. They can't destroy that. It will always be here.
Well, Mike, we're out of time. I'm wondering if you want to share any closing thoughts with the listening audience. You're going to be back again later this month, a couple of weeks, actually. And we may go into a topic more on something more positive on the order of healing. But this is important to bring this out. We must not forget what occurred, because these people have committed mass murder, and they are accountable for it.
Let's hope they are.
They are. Oh, they are. Trust me, they are.
I'm looking for the day, Don, when they're held accountable for it.
Well,
that's what I'm looking forward to. But I would like to thank you again, Don. It's been always it's always a pleasure and a lot of fun to be on your show.
Well,
and I would just close out with, yes, this information is disturbing, and for those that are to terms with it now, it's gonna shake you up. It's hard to believe. It's very sad, but that's reality. Just come to terms with it. And then get past it and just realize that even though we're in a world run by evil men, they're the minority, and they have a lot of material power now, and they're generating and spreading evil around the globe prolifically. However, all we need to do is at the physical level, stay close to Mother Nature, treat your body like a temple, and only eat the foods that keep it clean like a temple. You'll never get sick. In the wintertime, after a blizzard, when it's the wind is whipping and it's 0-10 degrees out at the warmest, I'm shoveling without a shirt on and I'm out there for at least 2-3 hours, warm as toast, feeling great. And everybody can be that way when you keep the body like a temple. Spiritually, live virtuously as best as you can, under all circumstances, and watch how your life comes together. Watch how, over time, as you perfect that ability, watch how everything starts to click for you, because living virtuously is the secret for personal power, a personal power that protects us, because it's true spiritual power coming from the Lord Himself, and it's protective as well as enlightening, and we all have to have that. So, individually, we can make it through this mess and, as a country, keep it intact so that they can't destroy us, and we'll survive and we'll come out on top when the time comes for the Lord to eliminate and wipe out this evil scourge that's manifesting right now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Michael Anthony, and we're going to say goodnight to our listening audience. I look forward to your next appearance on the show.
Me too. Thank you, Don.
Okay, folks, you have been listening to Evidence Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Michael Anthony. We will be back with Michael in a couple of weeks, so be sure to check out directlightproductions.com. Look at radio schedule for all the upcoming guests. Special thanks to Donald Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and Seth Hendrick on the sound. And to the listening audience, I would like to wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.